Tom Woods Show, episode 1851.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, if you have had it up to here with the COVID irrationality, you are going to love my brand new free ebook, COVID Charts CNN Forgot. Pick it up at chartstheyforgot.com. Hey folks, Tom Woods here. I am so glad to have Ian Miller with me today. Ian is the creator of so many of those great COVID charts that I've shared with you in my newsletter and in the ebook COVID Charts CNN Forgot, which you can pick up at chartstheyforgot.com. He's the best of the chart makers, and man, do his charts tell a story about whether any of this stuff that's been recommended to us, to try to stop the spread of COVID have actually done any good. He's devastating, and he's doing the kind of work that if we had actual journalists in the United States, they would be doing. But because we don't, well, we have Ian Miller, and you're going to want to follow him on Twitter, I-A-N-M as in Miller, S-C. That's how you do it. I'll have the link to his Twitter at tomwoods.com/1851. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, I got to ask you, have you been on any podcasts because of COVID?
I have. I appeared on Daniel Horowitz's podcast a couple of times. That's been it.
Yeah, okay. He's been tweeting some really good stuff also.
Yes.
So, yeah. In fact, I'm sure I was supposed to have known about him before, but I frankly didn't until all this blew up and other people would retweet him. And I kept seeing his name over and over, just like you. I kept seeing your name over and over. And then I finally thought, why am I not following this guy? So that's what I finally decided to do. So tell us something about your background, because in my world, you're a celebrity, given the work you do every day. And I was pitching this episode actually at the end of yesterday's episode, and I said that one of the things you do, it's not just that you're doing the charts, but that a lot of times you're doing extremely timely and topical charts. If somebody will try to pull some nonsense about this particular county where they're not wearing masks that much, and then you show that the guy who's complaining about it, his county's doing way worse, and they're all masked up. So you're always right on the ball. So what's your background?
Well, I don't really have a background in science or medicine or anything like that. I just, you know, I've always loved statistics and data. And, you know, this all kind of started out of nowhere. I was sitting around in, you know, March of 2020, like everybody else, and reading the news, and I didn't know what to think either. And, you know, I came across some articles online that were kind of immediately poking holes in the narrative. And I just started looking at the data for myself. And what really got me started was looking at the modeling that was out there, the IHME modeling especially. And I started to notice, well, this is just way off. This isn't making sense. That's not what they were telling us. And and then it just started from looking through the data myself. And I mean, I tell people all the time, it's like, this stuff isn't complicated. It's not, nothing I'm doing is that complicated. It's not difficult. It's really basic Excel stuff. It's just knowing what to look for and being able to kind of put it together in a clear, concise way. And that's really what my background has been. Is, you know, I went to college and presentations, doing a lot of presentations. And for my job, I do a lot of that and trying to communicate clearly and effectively and simply so that people would immediately be able to just look at it and immediately got to get the point and see what I'm trying to say. And really, like you say, with the counties, that's been the thing that's driven me the whole time is just it. If all of these measures were so important and were so effective, it should show up. And if you're trying to say that your county is going to do better because people are listening and wearing masks, well, we can show that. You know, we have the data to show that. And it almost every single time it doesn't show up. That's really been my purpose from the beginning, which is try to communicate clearly and concisely. And there's a lot of people that have been kind of, you know, on the team reality side, as we call it, that can do amazing, incredible work and very complicated work and much more than I can. But my goal has really just been to try to do it as simply and clearly as possible.
Now, no doubt when you release this material, you will occasionally get somebody saying, how can you do stuff like this when you're faced with this massive number of people who have died? Now, I actually think there's very good reason to be skeptical of the number, but we'll stipulate for the sake of argument that the number they're giving us is correct. My response to that is simply that the number of people who've died is irrelevant to the point I'm making, which is none of this stuff would have helped them. None of this stuff did help them. That's the point. It doesn't do any good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's been my point from the beginning too. It's all of this is tragic. And I do, you know, there are times when I'm like, God, you know, it is hard. We're talking about people here. These are people's lives. And I do sympathize with all of that. But the people that are pushing these restrictions on us that are changing everyone's lives, they're communicating the same way. They're doing the same thing. And it's, you know, at some point, it's insensitive to people that are suffering, living their daily lives as well, that have not, you know, died from COVID or with COVID. It's people are suffering in many other ways. And we're trying to help them by saying these restrictions aren't working. And, you know, you're going to cause further unnecessary suffering for people that are at zero risk of COVID by changing everyone's lives indefinitely. And it's very frustrating to see a lot of the same arguments over and over again. And people haven't seemed to learn at all over the last year that, yeah, you know, you can compare places, you can compare similar places in the same state, in the same region, and not see any positive benefit for places that were going through all these incredibly strict restrictions versus ones that were much looser. And to your point, that's exactly right. I'm trying to show, and I think we've shown a lot of data from a lot of different places that the restrictions didn't really matter. It didn't really save any lives. And ignoring that is just doing a disservice to everybody else.
Now, one kind of response people might have is to say that maybe some of the places you're comparing are so unlike each other that it's not a fair comparison. But my response to that is that in some cases, maybe they have a point. But even there, given how devastatingly deadly we were told this thing was going to be, and how extremely important the mitigation measures were, to the point where having you burn through your savings and lose your livelihood and not get medical treatment that you need and all these other really important things of life were considered to be trivial bits of nothingness to be totally ignored. I mean, then the effects of these mitigation measures darn well better overwhelm whatever trivial differences exist between one place and another. We better see it in the charts clearly and unambiguously. And we don't see it clearly and unambiguously.
Exactly. I part of that might be an issue with the public health people and the experts and the CDC kind of setting up expectations that were never realistic. And, you know, that's their fault. You know, I didn't make those comments. They're trying to tell us if you wear a mask, we can control this in 4 to 6 to 8 weeks and it'll be over. And obviously that didn't happen. And, you know, that was in the summer of last year and it didn't happen. And, you know, if you social distance, if you avoid large gatherings, if you ban crowds, if you don't have people over, well, people did all that. You know, we all did all that. And in some areas they didn't do nearly as much and had better results. And if those measures were so important, like you say, you know, it should show up immediately in every comparison to me. It shouldn't even be a question. I shouldn't be able to be doing what I'm doing if, you know, Florida and California, for example, where California has been one of the most restrictive areas in the world, really, for most of the last year, and, you know, didn't have better results. And like you say, if it was so important, it should show up every single time, or at least the overwhelming majority of the time. And not only doesn't show up the overwhelming majority of the time, the opposite shows up the majority of the time.
And also, if the results for Los Angeles had been the opposite of what they were, if Los Angeles were leading the country, you don't think they would be ramming that down our throats every 5 seconds? But when the opposite results occur, well, the excuse factory goes into overdrive or they try to distract us by pointing at this place or that place.
Right.
But you know for a fact they would be doing victory laps all over the place.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. I will say to people sometimes, What did you expect to happen? What would you have reasonably expected to happen if all of this was effective? Did you think that Los Angeles would rank, you know, 7th among U.S. states in COVID mortality per million? You know, would you think that L.A. would have of all developed countries would have the highest death rate? It was higher than the Czech Republic, which is number one right now of, you know, countries that are not, you know, micro countries. And there's never an answer to that. It's always just, you know, not enough people were complying. And obviously that's ridiculous and absurd. And, you know, to your point a minute ago about comparing places, it's, you know, a lot of the things that people thought were important, like density, was something that somebody said back in like April of 2020, and the entire kind of establishment world of COVID media just never adjusted their thinking to that. And, you know, Johns Hopkins literally put out a paper, a study in like June saying density doesn't matter and urban density was linked to lower mortality. Now, I mean, obviously that was a long time ago, and I've kind of, you know, made a Twitter career off of pointing out, you know, the things that people had said back in the summer that wound up being completely ridiculous. But they put that out there. And every time it's, oh, well, density. It's like, I mean, there's just no relationship. There's no consistent relationship between any of these things. But yeah, that's exactly right. If it was working, if it was showing up, they would be going crazy. And the CDC does a lot of these, you know, ecological studies. They're doing the same thing that I'm doing, but they do it with really ridiculous criteria, and they arbitrarily pick their end dates, and they try to, you know, ignore what happened after they posted the data and things like that. So they're trying to kind of make those points. They just do it really poorly.
One of my favorites is the Czech Republic. Now, again, I don't mean to sound flippant. Obviously, we're dealing with a great tragedy here, but I feel like, given how badly the laughable public health establishment has responded, ridicule does seem to be in order, to the very least. I mean, if all that happens to these people is ridicule, they get off very easily.
Yeah.
But remember, of course, you know this as well as anyone. Initially, with the Czech Republic, they had a little, on the graph, they had a little hill and it came down, and everyone knew, everyone being all the important, respectable people, everybody knew that was because they wore masks. And the implicit dig was at the United States. We're too stupid and rugged, individualistic to wear masks, and if only we had, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, with, as far as I can see, no change in mask compliance, you go from that little hill to a gigantic Mount Everest on the chart, and no acknowledgement that, huh, well, they're still wearing masks, so I guess maybe when we attributed their initial success to mask wearing, maybe we were being too simplistic. Have you seen anyone say that?
No. Nobody.
It was kind of a rhetorical question, right?
You're right. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. There's no revisiting of the things that they claimed were effective early on. And there's a big rush to try and, you know, attribute success to the measures that public health people want to continue to push. And there's no revisiting when those measures are suddenly ineffective a couple months later.
I like also about your charts that sometimes you'll pinpoint on the chart, not just, let's say, when a mask mandate went into effect or indoor dining was banned or whatever, but sometimes you'll pinpoint the exact date in which one of our public health people made some preposterous prediction. And then you can see the rest of the chart and prediction clearly not coming true. So, for instance, with Florida, well, there were a lot of predictions.
Yeah.
And now, I have to say, one of my favorite, it didn't get that much traction, but I was very happy with it. One of my favorite tweets was, I saw just some schmo saying something like, look, I don't see why you guys are all excited about Florida. Their results look very average to me. So my response was, look, in September of 2020, when DeSantis said he's opening up the state, I guarantee you the hysterics were not saying, if you open up, be warned, your results are going to be very average. That is not what they were saying to us.
Yeah.
And then likewise, Matt Iglesias recently said, look, Florida's doing, in terms of deaths per million or whatever, Florida's doing 10% worse than California. If you adjust for age, I'm sure that even that differential goes away. But again, look at how they've moved the goalposts. I'm sure Matt Iglesias in September of 2020 was not saying, if Florida opens up, it's going to be 10% worse than everywhere else, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Osterholm said it's going to be like a house on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Andy Slavitt said something similar, that it's not going to work. They didn't learn their lesson from New York. You know, Fauci was saying it's very concerning that they were opening up and they were asking for trouble by doing it. These are direct quotes. And yeah, that's been one of my key goals, is to point out that the people that are getting the most media attention and kind of leading our response and telling us what to do and creating these guidelines, they're wrong all the time. I mean, frequently. And it's, you know, not everybody's going to be right every single time. I don't expect that, but they should be right more often than I am, seemingly, right? And they're not. They're wrong all the time. And, you know, I do this with, you know, Los Angeles public health, where they're a month ago, they're like, oh, we're going to have the variants are going to cause another surge. You know, that first it was Florida reopening. Now it's Georgia reopening back in April of last year. And then it's variants now. And they come up with these excuses to continue restrictions. And then they're immediately proven wrong. And there's no revisiting of it. And that's been my goal, is to revisit it, because nobody else is willing to do it, you know, and the mainstream media really. And it's with Florida, it's, if these measures were so important and Florida basically got rid of them, and we've seen video proof of people in Florida not complying with the mandates, they should be number one, right? They should have immediately skyrocketed and gone up, not just, like you say, been average. And they're below the national average in mortality. And especially when you consider their age, like you say, it should have been skyrocketing past New York. And not only did it not do that, they've had better results than a lot of the places that locked down and whatnot. And especially with California, because over the period from September until now, California put in another stay-at-home order. I mean, we closed all outdoor dining, let alone indoor dining. And not only did it, you know, not Florida not get worse, California did much worse, you know, and it's just, there's no questioning of whether or not any of that actually mattered, considering what you say, Florida is the one that should have been number one, and they're not.
I remember during the Sun Belt spike, Andrew Cuomo took the opportunity to hit back at DeSantis, saying, you politicized this virus and you lost. Now, this from the guy who, in the middle of the crisis, thinks it's not at all tone deaf to write a self-congratulatory book.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. Which I just can't believe. I don't care if that was some, if DeSantis wrote a book like that right now, I don't think it would be appropriate. We should wait, not look like you're trying to score political points out of this. Even if you are, you don't look like that. And now, of course, we look at the, you know, where the numbers have wound up, and, you know, Cuomo, as usual, should have just kept his mouth shut. Do you actually remember what the very first chart you created was?
I started doing this actually when I was kind of just more tracking the data, and I kind of started last summer in trying to look at like the COVID tracking project update every day and give the context that they weren't giving, because they were always very, you know, kind of panicked about everything and tried to look at, you know, when things were going down, well, what was going on. And so I created one that was comparing, you know, hospitalizations in the first wave in the New York, New Jersey area to compared to the Sun Belt. And even at its peak, the Sun Belt was like 1/4 or something of the hospitalization rate of the Northeast. So that was back last summer, kind of comparing like Texas, Florida, California, Arizona, Georgia, that kind of thing, to New York, New Jersey.
At what point did you say to yourself, I'm going to be doing this regularly? Like, I'm the chart guy.
You know, I don't know if there was really one moment. I think it just kind of happened where I started to realize, you know, I wanted somebody to be doing this, being like, okay, well, so here's the, especially as the numbers were going up, because it just seemed like this is a very clear way to show it's not working and say, well, here's the mask, here's this. And especially being in California and seeing the numbers go up so much here and knowing what the compliance is like and seeing it, and especially in Los Angeles. I think I started with LA specifically just because I was so familiar with the data. And then when I started to notice people were really responding to it and were saying it was useful and helpful to see, okay, well, we closed this and closed that and closed this. And then this happened. I started to realize that, like, I could keep doing this. You know, nobody else was doing it consistently. And you know, there's some people that do similar things that do an amazing job, but I started to see that people were asking for more of this. And then people would send me a message. Oh, can I see my county, or can you show my state and compare these? And so, you know, and then international, it's like, well, we can look at the international data. And so it kind of just grew organically, I guess.
Hey, folks, just a quick break in our conversation with John to thank our sponsor, BitTrust IRA. I know that, like me, a lot of you are interested in cryptocurrency, and I know you wish you could get in a time machine and go back and buy up a lot of Bitcoin when it was dirt cheap. But the next best thing is to use Bitcoin to diversify your portfolio and add it to your retirement account. Well, how can you do that? BitTrust IRA is going to make that super easy for you. They help you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. They store your private keys in nuclear bunkers with military-grade encryption. And BitTrust IRA has a 24/7 trading platform with no minimum investments and unlimited trades, plus a team to help guide you along the way if you have any questions. And they also offer the lowest trading fees in the industry. So go to BitTrustIRA.com/woods today to learn more. And for a limited time, BitTrust IRA is waiving the sign-up fee for Tom Woods Show listeners. That's a $50 value. That's BitTrustIRA.com/woods. BitTrustIRA.com/woods. Apart from Florida and California, what would you say has been the most shocking of the results that you've found? I mean, there's a lot of stuff you've done, but is there anything where even you looked at the results and said, this is even crazier than I thought?
The Czech Republic is a good one because it's, I mean, not that I ever thought that Matchpoint was effective and that's why their numbers were low, but it's one thing to have the very, very low numbers and from that to number one in the world. Yeah, that was shocking to me. And you know, not that it's any fault of their own, obviously, that's not my point, but it was kind of surprising that not only were the experts and all the articles and all the praise of the Czech Republic for mask wearing so wrong, but it was wrong at literally number one in the world. That was pretty stunning. And I've done a lot of local counties where I go into it not knowing what the answer is going to be, where I just see a news story that somebody sends me and it's like, oh, well, in this Arizona counties, this place mandated masks and this one removed it, similar time period. And then I check what happened afterwards. And almost every single time, the place that removed the masks is doing better. At first, it was kind of surprising, not because I thought masks were working, but because the consistency that it continued to happen was surprising. But now it's kind of turned where I'm like, yeah, no, there's no difference and it's going to come out this way. And, you know, I did it with all of the US states a while ago and it comes out with no difference. And then Florida, all of the counties in Florida that had mask mandates and not, and all the ones that didn't have mandates were doing better. And I think one other quick thing was that it's surprising how closely they mirror each other's, you know, curves. Like the rates go up and go down at the same time, almost regardless of what you do, if you're in the same area. And that was kind of surprising me when I first saw it, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, whatever it was, that if you're in the same area, you follow the same curve, there's nothing you can do about it across state lines. You know, I did one with the DC metro area and there's, you know, you have three separate jurisdictions, you know, Maryland, Virginia, and DC, and they're in the exact same curve with the same exact numbers, regardless of what they close or when. And when I started to notice that pattern, that kind of surprised me. Now it doesn't, but at the time it definitely did.
Now, obviously, given what you're trying to do, you want to be nonpartisan because we want anybody, no matter what philosophical background they come from, to be on board here. And interestingly, that's been the position, the express position of Martin Kulldorff at Harvard Medical School, one of the great Barrington Declaration authors. I personally think he's on the political left, but he's not super open about that because he doesn't think that's important.
Yeah.
And I agree. And I, you know, I had this event in California last week and a woman came up to me afterward and said, look, I'm a 100% progressive and I'm sure I don't agree with you on a lot of things, but I am so shocked by and alienated from my fellow progressives that suddenly I guess I have a whole bunch of new friends here that I never expected to have. And I said, I'm so glad you're here. I mean, we really need you. Now, having said all that, it's the Tom Woods Show. It's kind of private. It's just my listeners here.
Yeah.
Well, how would you describe your politics?
For a long time, I grew up in a right-leaning household, Republican conservative household. And I mean, I followed politics, but you go to college, you get busy. And I never really changed my political views, but I just wasn't paying that close of attention for a while. And then this kind of skyrocketed it back. And I would say, you know, I'm a conservative, but it's also about freedom and liberty. And, you know, that used to be a fairly universal American value as far as across political lines. I mean, with different people would have disagreements about how best to approach that. But I think that the fundamental tenets of like freedom and people's ability to kind of come and go as they please was something that almost everybody in the country would have supported. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think we've seen that. And that's so it's kind of like, you know, push me even further, I guess, in that direction of being right wing, but more, this has to be about people's freedom. And we've taken that away from them. And that's just unacceptable. So my hope is that a lot of people like that person that kind of come from other political spectrums see that these restrictions are, you know, beyond not helping, is about removing freedom. And that's unacceptable.
And, you know, the damage that's done, a lot of the damage is very easy to see. You know, like, you know, the New York Times even talked about literally millions of excess deaths from things like tuberculosis and malaria and HIV because of all this. I mean, that's actually hard to see because most people wouldn't think of it unless they read that New York Times article. But they're just subtle things that we don't see. The pitting of neighbors against each other. I mean, that tears up a social fabric in ways that you can't quantify or put on a chart, but that are going to have long-lasting repercussions for us as a society and how cohesive we are and how much mutual trust we have. There's so many little subtleties that are missed because the overall wreckage is so overwhelming that we miss even these small things. It's very, and I'm sure, you know, there are families that are divided among themselves, you know, awful.
Yeah. There's a gentleman in England, Lord Sumption, I think is how you say his name, who's been on.
I love that guy. Yeah. Never heard of him before, and I love him.
Exactly. He has a lot of people like that over the past year, but he's done a lot of interviews and talks where he's said similar things about how life is more than the avoidance of death. And, you know, that's something that we've all just kind of acknowledged throughout our lives. And all of a sudden this year, we've forgotten it. And there's so many, like you say, little moments that matter. And, you know, seeing friends and family is important. People, social isolation is not a normal thing. It's a reason why, you know, you watch a World War II movie or something, that they punish people by isolating them in their own little cell or in social, what's it called, the cooler in The Great Escape. And, you know, that's important. And we've taken it away from people for no particular gain. And obviously there's other ancillary consequences with other diseases and issues like that. And, you know, little moments like going to a concert, going to a sporting event, those things all matter for your mental health. And, you know, the mental health crusade has been growing for, and rightfully so, for a long time. And then we just completely ignored it over the last year. It's like, nope, doesn't matter anymore. Only COVID matters. And that's kind of partially my goal as well, is to point out, you know, we've been only focused on COVID for the last year and it didn't matter. You know, we have to start focusing on all of these things. Otherwise the consequences are going to be way worse.
Suppose you wanted to tell the story of the so-called mitigation efforts in just a handful of the charts you've created. What would you choose?
Well, I think the Los Angeles ones are especially kind of illustrative of how much everything has failed, because, you know, LA's tried as much or more than anybody. And, you know, they were really early on mask mandates. They were very early on. We haven't had indoor dining here for, I think it was 3 total weeks in June. And that's it. You know, we've got no movie theaters, no theme parks, no zoos, no museum, I mean, nothing. And, you know, they have some of the worst rates in the country. And it's just, it's like, I'll say it very simply. It's just, if all of this stuff works, why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it show up? And there's never a great response to that. It's always just, well, people aren't wearing masks, but that's not true. You know, we know that that's not true. And survey after survey after survey, and all of these, you know, you can download data all over the place of mask wearing, and it's 85-90%. And, you know, I can't tell you in LA the last time I've seen somebody inside a business not wearing a mask. It's been probably close to a year, and it just doesn't matter. So, you know, if there was any place in the country where all these restrictions should have worked and should have avoided the, you know, fall winter surge because of mask wearing and social distancing and businesses being closed and stay at home orders, it would be Los Angeles, and it didn't work at all. So that's a good place to start, I would say.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. I must be as thick as a plank here not to have picked up on your being in LA. I just took from the SC in your Twitter handle that you're in South Carolina.
No, I'm Southern California.
Doug, I was just there last week and I should have invited you for lunch, because I know a lot of normal people who would have loved to meet you.
Yeah, no, that would have been awesome. No, I mean, hopefully come
and
out.
And plus, I did a speakeasy event in San Juan Capistrano. We had hundreds of people.
Oh, that's great. And, that's awesome.
Oh, it was tremendous. I just posted the audio of it. But yeah, it was a great... I mean, these were people, many of whom said, we haven't been out, like not literally out, but just out, like go out on a date or something, in a year. We haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I flew, you know, I live in Florida. So I flew to the other side of the country. You know, I lost money on it. I wasn't trying to make money on it. I paid my own way just because I felt like it was the thing to do. And there was a guy organizing it, Mark Skousen, who had an investment letter for over 40 years, and he wanted an event out there. So I just got on the plane and went out, and I can't tell you how happy I was that I did it, but one of these days when things will get semi-normal in Los Angeles one of these days, and I am coming back, and I am going to invite you for lunch and introduce you to a bunch of normal people you haven't met yet.
That's awesome. I would love that. Sounds great.
Have you lived there your whole life?
I've lived in Southern California for pretty much my whole life, yeah.
Ah, okay. Because, you know, the thing is, I have friends out there, some of whom are contemplating moving, and others of whom just love it so much that they just feel like, I got to just put my head down and grit my teeth and hope I get to the other side of this, because there's so much I would hate to give up on. Like, just for a silly thing, but I guess you probably know the farmer's market in Los Angeles.
It's
a lot of outdoor dining and stuff.
Yeah.
We met a friend there for lunch, and just walking around that thing, I said, you know, in the place I live, we don't have anything like this. It's just beautiful and diverse and wonderful, and there's a pickle shop and a sticker store, and I loved everything about it. So I can understand people's attachment to it.
Yeah, it's a very special place. There's a lot of natural beauty, and you know, there's things that you can't get anywhere else, and the ability to go be at the beach or be in the mountains within 2 hours, and that's why you stay. There's so many great things about it, but the worst part about it is the people who run it, and
yeah,
you know, that's why a lot of people have left, and the cost of living, and it's mismanagement. There's been a ton of mismanagement in the state for a very long time, and you know, but it is hard to give up all the kind of natural advantages that you have here. And you know, back a couple of years ago, there's a lot of feeling of, you know, fun and energy around the state, and it's been kind of brought to a halt. But it does have a lot of great things to it, and that's, you know, I love California. I just wish that it was a better place to live functionally, if that makes sense.
Well, that's how I feel about my native Massachusetts. A lot of natural beauty there, a lot of great cultural features, a lot of things that would attract you, but sheesh, the political class isn't much good. And of course, much, much worse, New York. I love New York. I lived there for a long time. I really do genuinely love it. I love the theater. I love all the things you can't have now.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. And so it's, you know, I think for me, as we wrap up, the most disappointing thing about all this is that this should have been an opportunity for people to wake up and clear out these politicians instead of rallying to them. Cuomo is an exception because they were fine with him up until whenever the memo went out saying we're going to turn on him. Everybody was fine. The same people now calling for an investigation were defending him against alleged right-wing attacks. Well, now they're issuing exactly the same attack we were, you know? So nothing has changed. Yeah. So that's been very disappointing.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people just kind of set themselves up last year is that they were going to do whatever the opposite of Trump wanted to do was. And, you know, anybody who kind of came out there vocally and said to do the opposite of Trump became kind of a national hero for most of the media and a lot of the kind of, you know, the half the country that had hated him. And Cuomo was kind of the first visual representation of that. Fauci is the same way. And I think that's really, you know, it all kind of comes back to that in this country of how poorly things have been handled with restrictions is that because Trump wanted to pull restrictions early, everybody decided they were the most important things that we could possibly do. And instead of kind of looking at the data for themselves, they just immediately put this blind faith in whatever their chosen, you know, left-wing ideological hero was, and that became all they needed to know. And it's never really changed. And I say a lot of times it's like people read one article in The Atlantic in March of 2020 and decided they'd do everything about COVID and that was it. So it's been frustrating.
I'll tell you what we need right now is we need a documentary with your charts as the backbone of it. And I would say in this documentary, and some of my listeners are going to be upset at me, leave out the vaccines. That is a separate conversation. Focus on whether ruining people's lives fixed the problem or not.
Yeah.
Just focus on that. And then we need some human interest stories about people whose livelihoods were flushed down the toilet. I mean, we need something that tells the story. And then I want quotations from politicians. I want their anguished speeches followed by your charts. The thing writes itself. The thing writes itself. If somebody out there does a quality job on this, I will promote that thing nonstop until my dying breath because it is so important that the Fauci-driven conventional wisdom not ossify into just what everybody knows. Yeah. It has to be challenged.
Yeah, I agree absolutely. I mean, I don't want to take any personal credit for this, but I definitely agree that that's the goal and to try and point out to people it didn't work and we can't ever let this happen again and we can't do this.
Ever.
This can't be a recurring thing every fall like some people are trying to push already, and it has to come to an end. It has to come to an end quickly, and it, you know, and it wasn't effective to begin with anyway. So,
yeah. Yeah. But by the way, one last thing. I mean, you and I are both amateurs in this area, but doesn't it seem interesting that DeSantis, he's really struggled with the media because they just can't stand him. And the more successful he is, the more they hate him. It's perverse. They should be happy, but because they're ghouls rather than human beings, they're not happy that he's successful.
Yeah.
But his star has been rising to the point where even MSNBC had to say, well, said to Andy Slavitt, you know, what's going on? Florida's doing just as well. And then the Wall Street Journal just came out with an article. I think there was an article in the Daily Mail in the UK, and there might have even been an NPR. But anyway, there's been a lot of pieces on this now. And he was recently at CPAC, and his political star is on the rise. And then suddenly, Greg Abbott says, we're opening up Texas. Now, I don't know what goes through Greg Abbott's mind. I don't think anybody does. That's the problem. But I wonder if some of that is motivated by, wait a minute. It turns out you can make political hay by giving the middle finger to this whole thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. So in other words, instead of it being toxic to say I'm against Fauci, maybe it's starting to be kind of okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. I think we've definitely seen a bit of a changing of the tide, and especially in the kind of, you know, middle to right wing side. I think people, I mean, you know, going back to the beginning, I was stunned that people put up with this for 2 months, let alone for a year. I couldn't believe it, but I would never in a million years have predicted Americans would have put up with this for this long. But yeah, I definitely think there's been a strong turn over the last couple months that, you know, people, I think, are saying we did all everything you told us to and it didn't matter. And now the numbers are going down and we have to get back to normal. We have, you know, we have vaccines. We have to go back to normal. And it's, you know, I think you're right. I think the political winds are changing. And as we know, politicians follow whatever they think is going to get them political credit a lot of the times. And it's a good sign that Abbott decided, oh, now's the time that I can kind of get political capital by pulling back restrictions. And, you know, the reaction from, but then again, the reaction from the kind of mainstream left about Texas, it kind of shows you how most of the kind of mainstream still believes it. They're still not willing to change. You know, the amount of tweets that I have saved for a couple of weeks from now when nothing happens in Texas, I don't even know. It's like, it's legitimately, I have like 35 ready to go from all of the panic and the, you know, the stories. It's going to be a nightmare in Texas. And it's like, you guys haven't learned your lesson. They never learn. You know, Florida wasn't this way. Georgia wasn't this way, but they're still so devoted to that idea. I think that's the next horizon to clear. It's like, yeah, we've kind of gotten the states that are more right-leaning to pull back, but how do you approach even states like Ohio where they're like, nope, masks are in there forever. And West Virginia, no, masks work. It's hard to see a light at the end of the tunnel for even kind of middle of the road states, let alone the Californias and New Yorks and New Jerseys of the world.
Well, I want to make sure people are following you on Twitter. So look, even if you're not on Twitter, you might say, Woods, I don't have a Twitter account. You can still, I am not accepting that as an excuse because you can still read Ian's tweets, even without an account. So if you are on Twitter, you follow him at, I'll put the link on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/1851. But his handle is Ian, because his name is Ian, and then M for Miller, and then SC for what I now know is Southern California. So yeah. IANMSC, that's how you follow him on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, you go to twitter.com/IANMSC and just bookmark that page. And then before bed every night, one of the ways you can sleep like a baby is you read Ian's tweets and you say, ah, somebody is out there kicking these terrible people in the teeth, you know, metaphorically. I can rest like a baby. And off you go, drifting off into dreamland. So tomwoods.com/1851 will have that link waiting for you. Ian, thanks for your time today and your ongoing work.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Okay, folks, that's going to do it for today. We got lots of truth tellers like Ian in my private group, the Tom Woods Show Elite. And if you're enjoying this podcast and you're not in there, then you're depriving yourself of something very special. So check that out over at supportinglisteners.com, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.